139. What a passage of Scripture this is.
How many know revival is coming? Amen. We have it scheduled. February 26th, 27th, and 28th. Revival is coming because we scheduled it. No, but we scheduled it, Brother Randall. February 26th, 27th, and 28th. It's your one shot to get it. If you're not here, you miss it. And if you miss it, you miss it. So one shot for revival, amen? Now come on, why are y'all looking at me like that? You're waiting for revival? Oh, the other foot to fall. Revival does not come because we schedule it. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even come because we schedule it. Revival is not an emotional stirring. It's not emotionalism at all. It is a stirring, however. It's a stirring of the hand of God upon the soul of man. Oh, yeah. Revival could happen today. Revival could happen today for one of you or none of you. Revival could happen tomorrow. Revival could have happened yesterday. You see, we must have an understanding of what revival is. Each year before our scheduled revival meeting, we are meeting for the purpose of asking God to stir our hearts. But can I tell you, that's our purpose of meeting today. It's our purpose for meeting tonight. It's our purpose for meeting Wednesday night, is to ask God to stir our hearts for Him. How do we do that? What is necessary here? According to Mr. Webster, he defined revival as a return, a recall, or recovery to life from death or apparent death, as the revival of a drowned person. So someone who was alive that may have had the life taken from them, when they are revived, that life is returned to them. The second entry that he placed in, he said, revival is a return or a recall to activity from a state of languor, a state of just nothingness. The third entry, he said, it is a recall, return, or a recovery from a state of neglect, oblivion, obscurity, or depression. Can I read that one more time? I think it's very applicable. A return or recall or recovery from a state of neglect. Have you neglected your spiritual life? It's very possible. Do you find yourself in an oblivion or obscurity? You're kind of backed off, or maybe even gone all the way into depression. You might need a revival. The fourth entry that Mr. Webster put in was something that is a renewed and more active attention to God. A renewed and a more active attention to God, an awakening of men to their spiritual concerns. In Ephesians, Paul told the church at Ephesus, "To awake thou that sleepest." We joke sometimes about falling asleep in church. Some are concerned whether it bothers me or not. It doesn't bother me, but it ought to bother you. Whew. Man, we start talking about revival, it gets quiet. You're the one that misses out, not me. Do we need to start all over? More attention to God. You know, one of the reasons we need revival in our lives is because we don't give enough attention to God. We walk through our daily life, we walk through our lives as if, can I say it this way, as if God doesn't exist, except on Sunday mornings. And we sing the hymns and we read the Bible, and God exists on Sundays, but on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, no, God has never ceased to exist, nor will He. And we must, if we realize that we have the need of revival, we must give our attention to Him and have an awakening of our spiritual concerns. In the 139th Psalm, as you give your attention to that this morning, David begins in the very beginning. He says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee. But the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all Thy members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me thereof, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them as mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way of everlasting. We're going to talk about personal revival this morning. Let's pray. Father, help us. God, as we read this psalm and these words, we can read it personally today. We can read it by placing ourselves in each personal pronoun it's placed in this word. And God, I'm overwhelmed by Your goodness. I'm overwhelmed by Your glory. God, this morning as we prepare for not just the end of the month as Brother Paulie comes, and God, we pray that he would have the messages from you, but God, we still have many days before his arrival. God, may you stir our hearts even today. May our hearts be stirred tonight and tomorrow and throughout this week and month, throughout this entire year. God, may you stir our hearts and may we respond to it. May we give our attention to each and every day of the rest of our lives to who you are, to what you are doing in and through our lives. God, may we each submit to you this morning and ask you to try us, to search us, that you might send us, that we might be your servants. God, we humbly ask these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I find it wonderful here as this psalmist begins by saying, very first verse, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Did you see that? So why then do we come through seeing these 49 personal pronouns given throughout the 24 verses here? When we come down to verse number 23, he says, Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So if God has already searched, why then ask again, search me? Why ask again, try me? Why ask again, know my thoughts? He's already given the explanation that God already knows all about us. Can I just point this out to you this morning as we attempt to have a personal revival in our lives? I want to start off by saying that revival is, number one, very personal. Now, I know we go through and we may give a prayer request and we may say, hey, we need to pray for revival. Or we may say our country needs revival. We may say our church needs revival. We may go through on down the line, everywhere down through, and say revival is needed. But can I tell you, revival is mostly needed in my heart. It's mostly needed in your heart. You see, if revival is going to affect our church, it has to start with individuals. If revival is going to affect our city, it's going to have to start with individuals. If revival is going to sweep through this nation once again, we might have another great awakening, a great spiritual awakening that our country has seen two other times previously. If we're going to have that take place, it has to start with individuals. It has to start with me. This psalmist here, the best of our knowledge, David writing these words. 49 times throughout this psalm, he used a personal pronoun, either me or my or I. 49 times. If you're in the habit of marking in your Bibles, you might go through each verse there at another time and just mark each personal pronoun there. And apply it to your own life and make it personal in your own life. But if we're going to have this great spiritual awakening of our spiritual concerns, and if we're going to give a more active attention to God, it has to be concerning ourselves. We have to be able to say, search me. Search me. Knowing that God already knows, but can I tell you, the searching is not for God, it's for me. It is not that God might know who I am, for He already knows. That is the difference here in David as he starts off by saying, Thou, O Lord, Thou know my thought. You know my heart. You know everything about me. When he comes down to the 23rd, 24th verse, and he says, Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. It was not for God to know David. It was for David to know that God knows him. And we have to have an opportunity for God to know us, and that God knows everything about us, and that God will show us everything about us. But I'll tell you, when you ask God to search you, He will show you, and you won't like what you see. At least I hope not. Let me just point this out to you. When we ask God to search us, notice when it says here, know my heart and try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Let me just fill you in on something. If you come through a searching time and you stand up from a time of prayer and you say, hey, I'm pretty good. Matter of fact, I'm pretty awesome. You only spend time with yourself. He didn't spend time with God. Now, I joke in this passage when you see David saying in verse number 14, I will praise thee. Let me read this. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Did you catch that? David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You did a marvelous job, God. You think that's what David meant by that? I don't think David was being braggadocious by saying, fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. No, he wasn't talking about God creating him. But in God's creation, he's marvelous. What David is doing here is acknowledging who God is. And if we're going to have a personal revival, we must acknowledge and ask him to search us. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. He says, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. There is. The idea of the searching here, though, is that God might lead. That God might lead. It's not take me, it's lead me. You see, because we have a way, don't we? We have a way that we want to go. We have a way that we want to do. And yet God has a way. And most times in our life, our ways, they kind of separate a little bit. Who can know the mind of the Lord? Paul said. His ways are past finding out. But yet, little by little, along the way, God says, as the Word lights the path in our life, He will lead us. Saying the special, some through the water, some through the flood, but all through the blood. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. Try me. And see. And see. And when you see, show me. This searching was not for God, it was for David. So if we're going to be searched, and God shows us the way, I say to you, number two this morning, that not only must we be searched, but we must choose. You must choose. I want you to go back to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 24. We're talking about how we're going to have a personal revival. What is going to have to take place? In the last chapter of the book of Joshua, Joshua has led the children of Israel into the promised land. And what a great transition it was. And the people had not done exactly what God told them to do. And Joshua, here in the 24th chapter, in the 14th verse, he says, now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods of your fathers that they served. Away the gods of your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. whom ye will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers, which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us all the way wherein He went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave them out before us. All the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. For He is our God. And Joshua says this in response. He said, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then will He turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey. What are you choosing today? Now, this is a pretty strong term here in this idea of serving. We could say in passing, we could say in way of serving, we could say, your wish is my command. Whatever you want us to do, we'll do. It's a big choice to make in serving the Lord. It's a big choice. Now, what I seem to observe, though, is we do the parts that we want to do, and the parts that we don't like or we're uncomfortable with, we don't do. May I just remind you that that's not serving? We have to decide. We still have to choose each and every day. We say, Lord, search me, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the path. Now I've got to choose to follow that path. So, but I don't really like that path. What happens if I get down the way and that path just, If you get down that path, let me just throw this out here. If you get down that path and you ever find that path to be, you're on the wrong path. You've stopped somewhere along the way. You've closed the Word of God, turned the light out, and you've been on your own for a while. Now, here's what happens a lot of times, is we close the Word of God, and we ignore what God has said, and the light goes out, and we continue on the path, and then we say, I'll take my Bible out and open it up, and, there's the path. I don't like this path. God, why'd you lead me here? It wasn't God that led me here. I closed the light and got off the path and started on my own and stopped serving and did what I wanted to do until I wasn't enjoying it anymore. Until it became uncomfortable, and then I open it up and, I don't like where I'm at. What do I do? We must choose each and every day. The Word of God must be the central point in our lives to keep that light on, to keep that light burning, to keep that light going in our life and in our path, we must stay right here. As Joshua made this covenant, he said, if it seem evil. That's a strong term too, isn't it? It's a strong statement. He's saying, you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to put away the gods which your fathers served. You're going to have to put away the gods which the Amorites in whose land you dwell serve. And you're going to have to choose. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Does serving God seem evil to you? I can just tell you, if we don't choose that, that's really what we're saying. It must be evil if we're not going to serve Him. Does it seem evil to you to choose? See, Joshua took a stand for truth. He took a stand for serving God. We focus a lot on this verse here in the choosing, and then as Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he took a stand for his family, and he stood and he said, you know what, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter what anybody else says, we're going to serve God. And I just tell you, we've got to be able to take our eyes off of what other people are doing, either for the Lord or not for the Lord, and focus in on what God wants us to do. Sometimes we've got to put the blinders up so I don't need to focus on what Justin is doing or what Mike is doing or what Philip is doing or what Philip, what double Philips are doing. Or what Edna's doing. I don't need to focus in on that. And sometimes I've just got to put the blinders up and get on my path and say, God, what do you want me to do? It doesn't matter what Edna does. It doesn't matter what David does. It doesn't matter what Nick does. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep following the path that God has placed me on. No matter what. Search me, O God. Now I must choose. For what purpose? We turn to Isaiah chapter 6. The idea here in serving the Lord, being searched, search me, know my thoughts, expose to me any wicked way inside of me. I choose to serve you wherever you want me to go. In serving Him is to for Him to send me. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord in the, sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, and which he had taken from with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and ye see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, till the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away. There be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, and a teal tree as an oak, whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so thy holy seed shall be substance, be the substance thereof. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Three times holy, they said. You think these seraphims were trying to get the idea across that God is holy? 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 Yes, God is holy. And because of God's holiness, He's able to search us. We're able to choose and say, yes, God, I will say, or search me, choose me. We choose you. Will you send us? Who will go, he said. Who shall I send? And who will go? Isaiah said, I'll go. I will go. And he said, go and tell. I tell you that same command is given to us today. Go and tell. Can I just remind you very quickly that in order to be revived of something, there must be life. Revival does not come about because people start getting saved. People are getting saved because revival came. Because here's what happens. God comes, He deals with His people, He stirs their heart, they respond to Him as He has searched them, they said, send us, and then they start telling, hey, you know Jesus died to save you? It's wonderful, isn't it? You need to trust Him. You know Jesus died to save you? You know Jesus died to save you? You know Jesus died to save you? You know Jesus died to save you, and you, and you, and you. And people start getting saved as a result of the revival. The revival doesn't come because people start getting saved. Oh, we've had that different, haven't we? We think we have to have 10 or 15 people that come and walk an aisle and get saved in order for revival to come. No, revival is going to come because God gets a hold of your heart and my heart, and then we get stirred to go and tell. We must go and tell. And until we're stirred to do that, we'd have to say revival hasn't come. We must give our attention to God. Because He is holy. And when once you've seen God, once you've met Jesus, once Jesus has changed your life, I tell you, it'll make a difference. And you know it. And you know it. Search me. Lord, I know you know my thoughts. Can I just remind you very quickly that God knows your thoughts better than you know your thoughts? That's one of the reasons we need to say, Lord, search me. Lord, try me. Lord, know my thoughts and reveal it to me. Where are you at this morning? Are you willing to say, Lord, search me? As He searches you, are you willing to choose to serve Him? Now look, when Joshua was talking to the children of Israel here, he wasn't talking to the people of the Amorites. He wasn't talking to Egyptians. He was talking to God's children. This morning, I'm anticipating, knowing the crowd here, I'm talking to God's children this morning. Who are you going to serve? Will you be sent? How far are you willing to go? Are you willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Guide my path. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. We need a renewal. We need a more active attention to God. We need an awakening to our spiritual concerns. Where are you at? maybe you need to respond to the Lord this morning. Maybe you need to say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me."